This is Jeff T from the Club 520 podcast. When it comes to your feet, eBay's got your back. When you see the blue check mark that says authenticity guaranteed, that means real experts are checking your sneakers. Every stitch, down to the sole. They even smell them because nothing says fresh like the scent of real kicks. So kick back and relax. From the drop to your doorstep, eBay doesn't play games with your sneaker game. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal with eBay authenticity guaranteed. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Hey everyone, welcome into the Fantasy Bros Football Podcast. I'm Bobby Sylvester, as always, with Mike Tagliere. You can follow us on Twitter at Bobby Fantasy Pro and at Mike Tagliere NFL. Tags, how's it going today, man?
It's been better. I have to do something today that I didn't really think I had to do. I'm gonna be pouring a chocolate shake over my head.
Why? Why would you do something like that?
Well, because you and I tied in a bet, and you're going to be forced to do something as well, although yours is a lot less messy than mine, I think. Yeah, because we did a DFS contest, if you guys didn't tune in for the DFS episode. And, basically, Bobby and I had restrictions on our lineup, and we had to play against each other, and we tied. I mean, like, legitimately.
That's like a 1 in 1,000 chance in DFS. So if you guys want to check this out, we're going to be showing the video during our live stream. We do a live stream together on Tuesdays talking about waiver wire. I do one by myself on Thursdays. Tags does one by himself on Sunday mornings. It's at youtube.com/fantasypro, so you can check out our YouTube channel. And it's going to be a lot of fun to see Tags pour a cold shake on his head.
That is not going to be fun, but it is what it is, and I'm stuck doing it.
And by the way, I want to tell you guys before we get to the guest about our waiver wire assistant. So this is available through My Playbook. It's for premium users only, but you guys are going to absolutely love it. So it's going to be like having a team of experts in your war room with you, helping you figure out who it is you want to pick up, who it is you ought to release as well. That's at fantasypros.com/myplaybook. And if you want to become a premium member, we've got a cool offer for you. You can check it out at fantasypros.com/offers. All you have to do is be a first-time depositor to one of our DFS partners and submit a $10 deposit, and you'll get a six-month Hall of Fame premium package. That's our highest tier. It's a $65 value, again, for just $10 at fantasypros.com/offers. So, guys, we have a great guest today to talk about the waiver wire slate. We've got him for 30 minutes. It's Jamie Eisenberg of CBS Sports, and he's on Twitter at his name, Jamie Eisenberg. We're just going to get right into the meat of it so we can get as much advice from you as possible. We're going to start at the running back position. Then we're going to talk about wide receivers before Jamie leaves, and Tags and I are going to cover quarterback, tight end, DST streamers of the week, and then talk about some trade targets and guys to sell as well. So let's go to the running back position. And while it's not a top heavy week, there's quite a few running backs that I'm fairly fond of. Jamie, do you have a favorite among this bunch who are less than 50% owned this week?
You know, it depends, I think, what you're looking for. If you need somebody for this week, you know, Chase Edmonds looked good in a shared role with David Johnson. You know, I say shared, but obviously it's clearly David Johnson's job, but, you know, working alongside David Johnson. If this is something that they're going to do in a matchup against the Giants, I'd take a flyer on him just on the off chance that A, they continue to give him touches, and B, what happens if the back locks up again for David Johnson, or, you know, there's a significant injury that they can lean on Edmonds a little bit more. If I'm taking a long-term approach, I probably would go get Benny Snell, just with the chance of this whatever injury situation James Conner left the game with last night, that does that linger into week 8 when they're off their bye week, because Jalen Samuels is not there and Snell looked, you know, capable and competent, you know, in leading them in rushing against the Chargers. So I think it kind of depends on what you're looking for. So one for this week would be Edmonds. One for long-term would be sort of Snell.
So, Tags, obviously David Johnson was questionable with the back injury, and so Chase Edmonds was involved. He had 7 touches for 67 yards and a score. But in Week 5, he was involved too, and I don't think David Johnson was hurt then. He had Chase Edmonds had 86 yards and a touchdown on 11 touches. Is this just something new that the Cardinals are doing? Or do you think that maybe David Johnson was banged up in Week 5 and we just didn't know?
He got hurt during that game, so it was a little bit of both. And I actually gave you a shout-out on last night's podcast. We recorded the rapid reactions right after the games took place, and I gave a shout-out to you because you liked Chase Edmonds this preseason. You were saying that Edmonds was a guy that you felt would be involved. You know, if the Cardinals were going to run 70 plays per game, they need to take David Johnson off the field a little bit in order to keep him fresh. So now what we're seeing, it's like a 50-20 share, which is kind of what you expected, right? And we thought Edmonds would have that Austin Ekeler type role in the offense and in delivering good matchups. Going against the Giants this week, they're a team that through 6 games, there have been 8 different running backs who have totaled at least 11 carries against them. So there is plenty of opportunity to go around. That game seems to be close in terms of what odds makers are saying. I think it's 3 right now, the spread. So yeah, I mean, Chase Edmonds is definitely the guy if you need someone this week.
Going up against the Giants too, like how much do you actually need David Johnson? Well, I guess it's the Cardinals, so they probably need everyone that they have, but
they're actually 3-point underdogs in that game.
Oh, that's wild. That is wild to be underdogs against the Giants, but I guess what I'm saying is against the Giants, this is a good opportunity. And so, you know, Chase Edmonds, even if he just gets 7 touches again, that might be enough against the Giants to be a solid flex play. Is he your favorite short-term running back pickup?
I mean, yeah, he would be. If you're looking for one, I would take him over Daryl Henderson. But Jamie, I'm interested in your take because you said long-term Benny Snell. My long-term one would be Latavius Murray. Now, I know that he's not like available in so many leagues, but what's funny is that I actually snagged him off the waiver wire in a 14-team industry league that we do that someone dropped him. Last week before the Kamara ankle injury. So somebody should have picked up Latavius Murray in your league, but if they didn't, would he be atop the list for you? Because I mean, Alvin Kamara dealing with this ankle injury, we don't know how bad it is, but we do have Drew Brees coming back after their Week 9 bye. Isn't Latavius Murray kind of like, you know, a guy that can maybe deliver RB4 type numbers, but when Drew Brees comes back, all of a sudden you can plug him into your flex and feel comfortable with it?
For sure. I don't know, comfortable would be the right word, but, you know, in an emergency situation or a desperate play, yeah. Look, this offense will clearly start to pick up some production, some pace, and some steam when the quarterback is there in Breeze. They've been very conservative, and understandably so, because their defense has been great, and why make mistakes with Teddy Bridgewater? So, yeah, I think that, you know, Murray is a better version of what Benny Snell could be. The only thing I'm looking at it from the what if James Conner's more hurt than he let on, and with Samuel's not there, like I could see a situation where if Kamara's right, Murray's going to be the same type of guy. There's just an unknown, I think, with the Steelers' backfield right now. So I would kind of prioritize him in terms of Snell a little bit more than Murray, just from a, I guess, you know, long-term is probably not the right word. 2-week scenario is probably a better situation, because if Connor's fine, you'd rather have Latavius Murray than Benny Snell.
I think Murray has a lot more upside, because what if something happens to Alvin Kamara? Drew Brees is back, and you've got yourself an RB1 rest of the season, right? But with Benny Snell, you're right. I mean, there's a chance that James Conner is out for a while. Now it's a quad injury, and they do have the bye week, so I would expect him to be back. But if he's not back for Week 8, you've got a premier streamer in Week 8 at home against the Miami Dolphins. Benny Snell runs the ball 25 times in that game for 100+. I would be glad to pick up Benny Snell and wait. I don't think we're going to have to spend much for Benny Snell right now because of the bye, because people are expecting to be back. But, you know, even if James Conner's not that banged up, why would they play him against Week 8 when they could just have a second bye week, essentially?
Yeah, that and the fact that, I mean, the Dolphins, teams use 2 running backs against them quite often. And James Conner, by the way, I know he had, I think it was 16 carries last night. That was his first time in his last 11 games where he's top 15 carries. So if they run the ball 30 times against the Dolphins, you're going to see Benny Snell involved. So if you're looking forward to 2 weeks, I like Jamie's call here.
The thing is with James Conner is a lot of people are looking at him and being like, man, he's been such a bum this year. Guys, they went up against the Patriots in New England, at home against Seattle, at San Francisco. They went up against Baltimore. I mean, what have we expected out of this run offense? I saw a team last night with a dominant running offensive line. They just finally didn't have a horrible matchup.
The Chargers were also terrible.
They were. That's true for sure. But I mean, the Steelers, I think they have a top 5 offensive line in football, and they were still doing it against stacked boxes because, I mean, what were they going to do through the passing game?
Oh, I agree. I mean, they've placed, you know, it's funny. Like, I think we're finally coming to the realization that San Francisco's defense is not just good, but potentially elite. And, you know, Baltimore with Brandon Williams, without Brandon Williams. You see the difference in Williams played in that game, you know, after the week where, you know, Nick Chubb went through them because Williams wasn't there. So, yeah, they faced a pretty tough schedule on top of adjusting to, you know, their third quarterback on the season with Roethlisberger and Rudolph going down. So it's sort of I think now we're starting to see what the potential could be for the Steelers offense, or what the realization is of what the Steelers offense now that, you know, the quarterback is what it is, you know, whether it's Rudolph or Hodges moving forward. So, against Miami, it's a great point that you made. You know, it's not just if Connor is out. It's even if Connor's there, Snell could have the Chase Edmonds game that we just saw, where it's minimal touches or at least a handful of touches, and he still delivers quality production in that regard. So I think, you know, they're all sort of, you know, good options. Edmonds, Murray, Snell, depends on what you need for your team. You know, if you're looking maybe past week 8 to week 10 to week 12, you know, with what Murray can do when the Saints offense is healthy, that's a great stash candidate. If you're looking short term, then maybe Edmonds and Snell are a little bit better, and it's a week versus 2 week situation.
So depending on what you need, Jamie, like let's say you need someone right now, how much money are you willing to spend on Chase Edmonds?
You know, probably not much. You know, I'd say maybe 10% of your remaining fab budget. You know, I'm not sure if he's worth, if it's waivers that don't reset, you want to burn your number one spot just because he may not get the same amount of touches. I think part of also what factored into it is Christian Kirk not being there. They, you know, they split him out a little bit with David Johnson on the field. And so if they have their full complement of receivers, do they do that same thing, run those same sets? So while he's building towards something, I think it was a combination of receiver depth being lacking and David Johnson not going through practice fully. So they got a chance to take a longer look at Edmonds than they may have on a normal week. So I wouldn't go crazy on any of these guys, but you know, they could be potential great options if some of these injuries come to fruition.
So Tex, would you say the same thing? No more than 10% of your fab, because I'm in agreement.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, basically you're paying for like a 1 week, maybe good RB3 flex play. And then from there, he's just a handcuff, and you can grab someone like Alexander Mattison for next to nothing, and, you know, have him on your bench and have, actually, you might even argue that it's more worth just to stash him on your bench, because if something happened to Dalvin Cook, that's a very run heavy offense. And Mattison,
I mean, he was involved this week too. He had 14 carries.
Yeah. If you were to change the jersey numbers on those guys, I don't even know if you'd be able to tell the difference, like when they're back there carrying.
Wait, Mattison and Cook?
Mattison has looked really good. Like, I'm not saying that he's Cook's level, but I'm saying it's very close.
I mean, he's good, but I won't go that far. I think that's kind of a hot take. Jamie, let me ask you this, okay? So Latavius Murray behind Alvin Kamara and that good running offense once Drew Brees gets back. Chase Edmonds filling in for David Johnson. Alexander Mattison for Dalvin Cook. Among these three, let's throw Daryl Henderson in the mix too, in case anything happens to Todd Gurley. Obviously, Malcolm Brown would still be there. But among these four, Murray, Edmonds, Mattison, Henderson, who has the most league-winning upside if the starter goes down?
Oh, I think it's Mattison. I think Tax hit it on the head. You know, just what he's looked like so far. It's funny because, like, his measurables and all the things you read about him and watched him in college, you know, it was like, oh, this really isn't a very inspiring player. And then he gets to the NFL and, you know, on the turf with that offensive line and how they've looked and how they're running the ball and Kubiak's influence on Stefanski's system and what Mike Zimmer wants to do. You know, it's funny. I don't know if you saw Mike Zimmer's press conference at the end of the game yesterday. I think it was the first thing he said was, so we threw it 29 times. Are you guys happy? And, you know, those of us looking at it with, you know, Adam Thielen and Stephon Diggs going, no, you know, throw it more. But if you're Dalvin Cook or, you know, potentially a Mattison owner, you're like, no, run it more. You know, keep this going because, you know, as much as Cook is an exceptional talent, I think now the situation is sort of matching the talent, and obviously he's healthy. But this is a guy with a track record of not making it through the season. And if something happens to him once again, you know, God forbid, but Mattison could absolutely be the biggest league winner. I think Murray could be also, and, you know, maybe Henderson if they get Malcolm Brown out of the way. And same thing with Chase Edmonds if something happens to David Johnson. But just from what this Minnesota offense looks like, what the plan is to operate their offense, I think Mattison would be, you know, the guy that wins you several leagues if he's the guy down the stretch.
I think it would be Mattison too, and it's really not especially close. Now, I want to give two other names that fit into this category. They're not on the list that we prepared to talk about, but Gus Edwards behind Mark Ingram. In fact, he outsnapped Mark Ingram in this game. And then Tony Pollard behind Ezekiel Elliott.
Yeah, I agree. I think both are in good spots. You know, we're getting to a point now. You know, I write our waiver column for CBS Sports, and you guys sort of alluded to it. It's not a very exciting list of names for the running back position, and thankfully we haven't had a lot of these big injuries, you know, Saquon being probably the biggest one. But you know, you keep just trying to tell people that if you have a roster spot to play with, those are the type of backs to just stash, because should something happen to Cook, should something happen to Zeke, should something happen to Mark Ingram, you know, David Johnson, Alvin Kamara, et cetera, you know, then you don't have to spend your entire fab budget. You've already been a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks ahead. Now, those will probably be guys that you have to drop because of bye weeks or injuries to other positions. But if you can just sort of cycle through these guys and just never know what's going to happen, you know, you always want to be ahead of the game as opposed to chasing. And that's how you sort of win this game.
I would agree with that. And like, it's like you said, it depends on where you are in your league, what you need. If you need a victory now, yeah, go ahead and get Chase Edmonds as your number one. If you've got three really solid running backs and you're sitting at, you know, 4-2 after this week, go pick up Alexander Mattison and let him rot on your bench the rest of the season. If there's just a 15-20% chance that he takes over as the starter in this Minnesota offense and is an RB1, that is so much better than wasting a roster spot on a wide receiver six like Cole Beasley, who's hard, maybe never going to play for you. I mean, you could pick someone like that up off the waivers any week, or a second tight end, second quarterback. Tags, would you agree with that?
You take it easy on Cole Beasley, my friend. He has produced. I actually think that he's one of the better waiver wire guys if you want to snag right now. That I would rather have Cole Beasley than Jamison Crowder.
Okay, so fill in another name for a wide receiver six then and answer the question.
I mean, if you said Devontae Parker or something like that, I'd be like, okay, yeah, I get that. If you wanted to say Darius Slayton, okay, I get it. I mean, it's just, it's pretty ugly. Yeah, it's like stashing Frank Gore on your bench or Adrian Peterson. Those are guys you drop. You don't play them. They're not going to help you win a fantasy championship. Adrian Peterson, you got your 1 week use out of him. Cut bait. Seriously, just let him go. Let him into the wild. It's not happening. So yeah, I do like the idea of stashing guys like Pollard though. Pollard, I mean, those are guys that, again, we talked about this like the last couple weeks, just because it's been a very light waiver wire. Like the waiver wire hasn't been like, you know, like you need to attack it and spend 30 fab bucks on somebody for quite a while. And we said that basically right now is the time to just stash the guys that people would break the bank for if they did go to free agency.
So we talked about Murray, Chase Edmonds, Alexander Mattison, Benny Snell, Daryl Henderson. I guess the last running back we need to talk about, because we're going to get some questions and we don't need to talk about him because we're recommending him, but Mark Walton is getting a lot more carries. Is he going to take over this job from Kenyon Drake, Jamie?
I don't think he'll take over the job, but he's certainly taken over the touches of Kalen Ballage, which is probably smart. You know, if you're the Dolphins at this point, you're trying to figure out what makes sense for you for 2020. And I'm not even sure Kenyon Drake is their starter in 2020, you know, if they're just going to completely overhaul everything, you know. And Drake is, from his college days to what we've seen from him in the pros, he's probably better suited to be a backup and a change of pace guy than a featured rusher. So, you know, if Mark Walton's somebody that can be their third guy or their fourth guy, you know, that's something I think they're looking at. But look, this offense is going to be terrible. They're not going to score a lot of points, as we've seen. You know, you're kind of hoping for breaking a long play, sort of cobbling together some stats, better in PPR than non-PPR. So I think he's sort of a situation, if you're stuck. Like, we had a question on our show on CBS Sports HQ today. Somebody said, I'm in a 14-team league. I'm looking for a desperation play because of injuries and waiver wire stuff. And, you know, that's the name I threw out there because he's so available. And just, you know, that he may get 10 touches. But it's such a bad situation, a bad setup, bad offensive line, bad quarterback, bad team that, you know, you're sort of hoping and praying that he, you know, maybe falls in the end zone, which hasn't happened for the Dolphins for the running back position yet.
Right. Yeah, he's getting a lot of work on third downs in the passing game, and which is kind of weird because that should be Kenyon Drake's role. He's great at it, but Dolphins are going to do what the Dolphins do. Tags, I'm not even going to ask you about Walton because I don't want to spend too much time on him. Guys, let's go to the wide receiver position. And I'm looking at it. There are six or seven guys who could legitimately be number one on this list, depending on who you talk to. I think my number one might surprise you guys. Jamie, who is your number one?
I mean, of the list you guys sent me, I think, again, it comes down to long-term versus short-term. You know, if Crowder's available, I know Tag said he would take Cole Beasley over him. I could certainly see that for this week. But, you know, you have Crowder, you have Beasley, you have Auden Tate, who look really good. And, you know, we don't know when we're going to see A.J. Green. So if he's going to continue to see a bump in targets, especially if teams try to now take away Tyler Boyd, that's a great spot for him. But for me, I would take Crowder. Just, you know, the slot receiver for Adam Gase has been proven to get fed targets. And we've seen it now in two games with Sam Darnold, how much he's leaned on him. Obviously, the Buffalo game goes a little probably to the extreme. But, you know, in the game against the Cowboys, he was right there, you know, nine targets or eight targets. I forget which one Anderson had and which one Crowder had, 9 and 8 for the two of them. So 17 targets to their top two guys. I think that's just going to be how this offense is going to operate. So while Robbie Anderson will have bigger splash plays, if Crowder can stay healthy, he's going to lead them in receptions. And I don't think it'll be particularly close.
I think it's fair to throw week 2, 3, and 5 out the window because Sam Darnold wasn't there. And in the other 2 weeks, he has 26 targets. Now, obviously, 13 per week is not going to keep up. But if Jameson Crowder is getting 8 targets per week, I think he's a better version of Cole Beasley. Jamie, I would agree with you. I like Jamison Crowder a little bit more. Now, if you need someone this week, Cole Beasley against Miami. Now, Tags, does that mean Cole Beasley's your number one wide receiver pickup?
No, he's not. And Jamie makes a really good point there. And like, you know, talking about the erasing the weeks that obviously he was without Sam Darnold, maybe that's like an oversight on my part, and not an oversight, because obviously I know that, but more so to do with like the matchup I was looking at this week, because it was almost like I was staring down and I was looking at two wide receivers that aren't like exciting options, guys that are going to like hit home runs for you, but more like safe options. And I saw the matchup against Miami versus New England, and it was like, it led me to go Beasley, but I think you guys are correct in that aspect. I might go Jamison Crowder of the two just because it's a better long-term solution. But my number one is Dante Pettis. He has led the 49ers in routes run the last 2 weeks. He's out there on the field.
He's up to 80% of the snap count now. It's what we've been waiting for.
Coming out of their bye week, that's what they were looking for. And it's something I talked about on the show last night, saying that I do feel like the 49ers are going to be in the mix for one of these wide receivers being traded at the trade deadline, whether it be an AJ Green, if they do shop him. Is it an Emmanuel Sanders? Like, they're probably going to be looking at some sort of possession-style receiver because this team needs help. And Deebo Samuel suffered some injury. I'm not sure what it was just yet. There's just not enough news leaking out about this stuff. But Dante Pettis is a full-time player going up against Washington, who has really, really, really struggled against slot receivers this year. Not even just slot receivers, but players just moving into the slot. So Dante Pettis is like a wide receiver four type play this week. And it could be that breakout week. You know, when people were drafting Dante Pettis as a low-end wide receiver three, high-end wide receiver four, this is the usage you were looking for. So having a plus matchup, I mean, Dante Pettis, this is your chance.
Yeah, I love the matchup for this week. So I have Dante Pettis number two. I've got Jamison Crowder number three. My number one, guys, is, you know, and again, this is for if you're in a good situation and you don't need a wide receiver right now, because Jakobi Meyers is not playing much. I think he played 35% of the snap count last week. We've got Rex Burkhead probably coming back soon. N'Keal Harry, I don't think he's really going to be involved, but he's practicing now. And Jakobi Meyers, when I watched his game tape, I was just floored with how good this kid is. I mean, he looks like a veteran out there with his body control, his route running, his awareness of just the coverage that's going up against him and what he needs to do, his timing with Brady, everything is impressive. He high points the ball. He's lengthy. He's, you know, catching passes out of the backfield is how they're using Jakobi Meyers in some cases as well. He made two really nice plays. I know he only had four receptions, but again, that was on 30% of the snap count. He looked awesome. And the reason I want Jakobi Meyers, I don't typically do this with handcuff wide receivers, but Julian Edelman is injury prone. We've seen that throughout his career. Josh Gordon is suspension prone. We've seen it throughout his career. If anything happens to either of these two, I think we've got a startable wide receiver every single week in Meyers, and I don't mind stashing him for the time being.
I'm curious to hear Jamie's talk on this, just because like last week I had Jake on for the waiver wire show, and Bobby, you were out. You were at something called a baseball game. But I talked about Jakobi Meyers as someone that I was telling people to grab last week. And I am right there with you. I have him as my number six waiver wire addition at wide receiver, so it's not like a must add, but he's a guy that if you have deep rosters, stashing him makes tons of sense.
Agreed. You know, it's a receiving corps that's pretty terrible right now. You know, you have Julian Edelman, a banged up Josh Gordon who hasn't exactly been inspiring. Philip Dorsett's, you know, gimping around on a hamstring problem. Now, you mentioned about San Francisco going after a receiver. We know the Patriots are probably going to be in the market. They've tried so many things since the offseason, whether it's, you know, Demaryius Thomas or Maurice Harris or the failed Antonio Brown experiment. You know, they're clearly not done tinkering with that group. And, you know, bringing Benjamin Watson back probably speaks to that as well, that they need some help in the passing game. But, yeah, you know, he's somebody that clearly proved himself a little bit in the preseason and got a chance to show off a little bit last week. And so, yeah, I think they're going to be in a lot more competitive games. Not that Brady's pass attempts have been down, but he hasn't been very successful with them. Once they get this offensive line shored up, which I think they will, you know, they'll probably look a little bit better throwing the ball, and that will certainly help him in a big way. So, yeah, he should be on the list. It's just I think all these guys are still in sort of a, you know, not a must-play scenario. They're more of a, okay, like a long-term approach, and I think you guys hit it. If something happens to Julian Edelman, the long-term approach could be the short-term approach for Jakobi Meyers sooner rather than later.
So, Tex, who else do you have in your top five? I mean, as I mentioned, there's several other names. Deontay Johnson, Auden Tate had that great catch. Jamie already mentioned him. Devontae Parker, maybe he gets traded and he's a lot more useful. I mean, he's a talented football player. He's just stuck in Miami. Darius Slayton had like 130 air yards. They just missed him on a couple long pass attempts. Demaryius Thomas is getting targets. Any of these guys you like?
I kid you not, you just named my top nine. wide receivers. like it was almost in order, honestly. I have so Auden Tate and Deontay Johnson were like right next to each other. But if like obviously Auden Tate has more appeal just considering it's not his bye week and Deontay Johnson's on a bye.
It's kind of a bye week. He has a game against Jacksonville, man.
I mean, Jacksonville is one of nine teams in the league that's allowed over 1,000 yards to wide receivers, so it's not...
I mean, they played Patrick Mahomes once, so that's like 500 right there.
No, they also don't have Jalen Ramsey, so they're not as good. But basically, it's not really a week where you have to go out, because like even Devontae Parker, he's playing at Buffalo this week. You're not playing him against Buffalo. Darius Slayton versus Arizona, they're getting Patrick Peterson back this week. Demaryius Thomas going against his old team in New England that has still... or I shouldn't say still... They haven't allowed a touchdown to a running back, but they've allowed one wide receiver touchdown through six games. So it's not exciting. I think one player that people are going to ask about, Jamie, I really want to ask you about before we get you out of here, is N'Keal Harry. N'Keal Harry is going to be activated. He's going to practice with the team. He was kind of brutal throughout practices from what we heard, that things were just way too inconsistent for the Patriots' liking. So he had like a slight injury that maybe didn't require him to go on the IR, but it was just kind of convenient in terms of what they needed on their roster. Are you someone that's willing to stash N'Keal Harry, or is it like, no, Jakobi Meyers is the next guy in line? Harry is just like two injuries away from happening.
Yeah, I think it's more the latter. I'll probably let somebody else chase him, but I think what we, you know, see again, it goes back to what we were just talking about. You have banged up and struggling Josh Gordon, banged up Philip Dorsett. We don't know when he's going to be healthy. Julian Edelman's already battled through a chest injury. And, you know, last year he was healthy, obviously. But what's going to happen with the next thing, you know, is Jakobi Meyers someone that they'll trust, or will they sort of, you know, they're not really one of those teams that they'll force the draft pick on the field because we made the investment in him. I think it was they liked him coming out of school. And they'll take a little bit of a long-term approach to wait until he's ready to play. They don't need to put him on the field because Brady will make anybody successful, like catching passes, you know, or throwing passes to Gunnar Olszewski, or however you pronounce his last name, last week's game. So, you know, I think people will fall in love with the name and the team and the logo and sort of say, okay, sort of the same conversation we're having, but why would they go with Jakobi Meyers when they spent the capital in the first round to get N'Keal Harry? Well, shouldn't he be better? Let somebody else chase that. It's just probably not the player that I'm going to go after.
So of the guys I mentioned to tags, Auden Tate, Deontay Johnson, Devontae Parker, Darius Slayton, Demaryius Thomas, do you like any of those more than the other?
Tate, for sure. You know, just from the standpoint of two things. One, John Ross obviously has opened up some targets, as we saw, you know, last week, this past game. You know, he scored two games ago in the first game without Ross, but it really wasn't an inspiring performance. But he had 16 targets in the two games with Ross active prior to that. So I think he's sort of been building towards something. And if they do move on from AJ Green, then you know he's locked into that role opposite Tyler Boyd as somebody who will play a lot. If AJ Green comes...
I didn't even consider that option, Jamie. That's really interesting because Tate looks good. I could see that happening.
Yeah, and if they keep AJ Green, then clearly we don't know what exactly they'll do. But Zach Taylor's offense, if he's sort of going to mimic what he did in Los Angeles and sort of follow the same footprints of Sean McVay, they'll use three guys. So it was kind of like the same conversation that we were having, at least with John Ross, of, okay, yeah, Ross is doing good things now without AJ Green there. Well, can he keep it up when AJ Green plays? I was sort of curious to see how that was going to go. Now, obviously, Tate's not as explosive as John Ross, but there's still an opportunity for him to stay on the field and be involved and get a decent amount of targets, you know, 6-7 on a weekly basis if things are going right. And so I think he's worth investing in just based on what we've seen now, touchdown and 90 yards receiving in back-to-back weeks with the production, you know, sort of mimicking, you know, the opportunity.
Tate's in my top five as well. Now, somebody else that we haven't even talked about yet that I like quite a bit, and I wanted to save him because I figured no one would really be that excited about him. But from the time Ryan Tannehill took over for Marcus Mariota, he targeted Adam Humphries four times in the second half. Now, it's a small sample size, but we've seen Humphries be a useful player. Maybe now that Tannehill, I would expect, is the starter moving forward in Tennessee, we have something here. What do you think, Jamie?
I agree. You know, I mean, this is another receiving core that just hasn't, you know, shined. You know, there's been some flashes of A.J. Brown. You know, it's nice when they play Atlanta and those guys can take advantage of bad situations. But, I mean, Corey Davis at this point has really proven to be a bust. You know, who knows if it's Mariota's fault, if it's the team's fault, if it's just, you know, lack of opportunity. And maybe when he moves on to a different team or they overhaul everything, we start to see the best of Corey Davis. But, yeah, I mean, again, it's sort of the same conversation with Jamison Crowder because of Adam Gase. Well, was it Gase and just them funneling the offense through Jarvis Landry and then to a latter extent Albert Wilson? when the in the Dolphins system with Tannehill as the quarterback, or is it just Tannehill's reluctance to throw the ball down the field and sort of challenge the defense? If that's going to be the case, then his history will sort of carry over here to Humphreys, who's going to, you know, be a short area target for him, somebody that he can, you know, pile up receptions. There'll probably be a lack of touchdowns just because of the offense that he plays in and how they'll operate inside the red zone, certainly near the goal line. But I think if you're in a PPR league, which clearly most was playing, then Humphreys is somebody that you can sort of cycle through your team. You know, it's kind of going like what Tag said about, you know, the Devontae Parkers and the Darius Slaytons of the world. You want to pick them up just to see what happens, but they'll probably be guys that you drop when you have other players available to you that could be a little bit more successful.
And that's what I'm expecting with Humphreys, if I have to pick him up. But it's just, you know, we know who Cole Beasley is, right, Tags? I mean, we've seen him five weeks. He's getting a lot of targets. He hasn't passed 11 fantasy points in any of those 5 weeks. Now he does get Miami this week, Philly next week, Washington in week 9. So I like those three matchups. I guess Cleveland in 10, Miami in 11. So the next 5 weeks, Beasley makes a lot of sense. But is it possible that Adam Humphreys is just a better player than Beasley, like the better version of Beasley, Tags?
He might be a better player, but his offense sucks. And I refuse to think that they're actually going to name Ryan Tannehill the starter. I don't think that's going to happen. I really don't. I think this was like a warning shot at Marcus Mariota. And it does surprise me that the leash became so tight so fast, just because it's like he came into that game with no interceptions on the year. And I mean, it is what it is. He hasn't played very well. So I'm not going to sit here and pretend that it's like, oh my God, why'd they bench him? I understand why they did it, but I think it was a warning shot. I think he's going to be back under center. I don't want to associate myself with the receivers there. There's two better receivers on his team, whereas Cole Beasley, you know, the quarterback that he's playing with has shown the willingness to target him. And I do play in a lot of PPR formats. So when I see Cole Beasley, a guy that he's totaled 9 PPR points in 4 of the 5 games, he's played 12 or more in 3 of those. So he offers, like, it's all about the ability to fill in these bye weeks, because Cole Beasley's not a guy that you want to rely on every week. And if you look at his schedule coming up, it's Miami, it's Philadelphia, it's Washington. I mean, there are some games, and then he's going to play Miami again in week 11. So there's a lot of good games coming up on his schedule. So to get you through the bye week hell, I think Cole Beasley can do that.
I think these guys are floor plays. They're not ceiling plays. You're kind of looking at them as to, you know, what can they get you so your roster doesn't bottom out? And you kind of know, like Tag said, okay, I'll get 9 from him, and I know that that's not going to crush my team. And Humphreys could be a similar situation, but it's like, you know, going back to sort of tie in with the running backs, it's like, do you want to take a flyer on that? If you need somebody, yes. But is it better just to sort of invest in a Madison or a Pollard or something else where, okay, the ceiling for those guys could be immense, but the floor is just terrible because they're not going to play until the guy gets hurt?
I would agree, absolutely. Jamie, as always, it's a pleasure having you on. Thanks for taking the time.
Oh, my pleasure, guys. Thanks for having me. Good luck with all your waiver wiring in week number 7.
Thank you as well. Okay, so before we move on to the other positions and then talk about some trade candidates, some lightning round of drop or keep, I want to tell you guys about the sponsor of today's show, Roman. Guys, talking about erectile dysfunction, it's not easy. Usually we just brush it off or blame ourselves, saying things like, I lost my mojo, or we avoid it altogether with excuses like, I had a long day at work, or sorry, honey, I'm just not feeling it. But with Roman, it's easy to talk about it. With a real doctor who can prescribe real medication, it's simple, safe, and totally discreet. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your own home. The doctor's going to work with you to find the best treatment plan if medication is appropriate. Roman is going to ship it to you with free 2-day shipping. The whole process is straightforward, simple, and discreet. Just go to GetRoman.com/FantasyPros and complete an online visit today. Erectile dysfunction used to be tough to tackle, but now there's Roman. Get an online visit today and connect with a doctor and take care of it now. Just go to GetRoman.com/FantasyPros to get a free online visit and free 2-day shipping. That's GetRoman.com/FantasyPros for a free visit to get started. GetRoman.com/FantasyPros. All right, Tag, so we're through running back, we're through wide receiver. Let's move on over to the quarterback position, and it didn't work out so well for me last week with Gardner Minshew. He had by far his worst game of the season in what was a really good matchup. Now, Kirk Cousins did look great. You were right on the money there.
I mean, I'm obviously happy when things work out in the way that I wanted them to, or I thought that they would. And I just felt like the matchup for Minshew wasn't a great one against New Orleans last week. They've been playing better on defense with DJ Chark being taken away by Lattimore. It just didn't feel like a great game for them.
And Minshew was banged up a little bit. He was playing with a strained groin and a knee issue.
I mean, that's because of off the field activities that Gardner Minshew's doing. He's gonna have that problem all year, by the way, Bobby.
I don't even know what to say. So let's talk about this week then. I think there's a very obvious number one quarterback to pick up, but he's owned in 50% of leagues. If he's available, would you agree? Josh Allen at home against Miami is not only the top streamer of the week, but he is a top 7 or 8 option this week.
Yeah, against Miami, it's pretty hard not to play a quarterback, honestly. I mean, you could even go back to, like, look what Case Keenum did last week. He dropped back and he threw the ball 25 times. He still finished with 15.6 fantasy points. It's just a matchup that you dream about. And before Keenum, there was no quarterback that had finished with less than 20 fantasy points against Miami. That defense is just, it doesn't even matter if Xavier Howard plays. They're terrible. They're terrible, Bobby.
And Josh Allen's been pretty good this year. I mean, and this is even without him rushing the ball that much. Last year, he was rushing the ball like 50, 60 yards per game. He's got 38, 21, 46, 26, 27. So how's he doing so well? Well, he's one of the most improved, maybe the most improved passer in the NFL this season. He's got 18 fantasy points against the Jets, 22 against the Giants, 19 against the Bengals, 18 against the Titans. He had a stinker in there, but it was against the Patriots. What'd we expect? I think Josh Allen is a lock for 20 fantasy points this week.
Yeah, I would put him in for 20 fantasy points this week. And if he is available, like that was in my weekend waiver wire stash article saying that if he's somehow available in your league that someone dropped him because of the bye week, pick him up because he's going to be like one of the better streamers against Miami.
And it's not just a streamer that you have to cut to pick up another streamer after week 7. After this, he gets Philadelphia. He's a top 12 quarterback for me again. Washington week 9, Cleveland in week 10, Miami in week 11. We just talked about the schedule with Cole Beasley. I think you can ride Josh Allen all the way until week 12.
Yeah, no, Josh Allen, I mean, he's delivering a high floor. And again, you mentioned it, it's without like the massive rushing totals, and those are going to come. It's just a matter of like when he's not throwing, he needs to understand to like dial it back. And, you know, the last few games he has definitely regressed back to kind of what I think many expected him to be coming into the NFL, which is a very inaccurate quarterback. He hasn't looked good in the last two games that he has played. But again, he does have the mobility to fall back on. So hopefully he starts using that a little bit more to his advantage.
All right, Tech, so after Josh Allen, let's say he's gone. Would you pick up Daniel Jones against Arizona, or are you rolling out Kirk Cousins against Detroit?
I probably go with Cousins. It's really tough to comment on this right now just because we don't know what's going on. Sterling Shepard is someone that they're saying could miss multiple games, that it could be a long-term situation. Evan Engram is dealing with a sprained MCL. That's usually a multi-week injury, which means he would be out for this game. And if that's the case, it's like, he might be getting Saquon Barkley back, but that's hardly going to account for the passing options that he had. So it's like knowing that he's going to be thrown to Golden Tate and Darius Slayton and his primary receivers, it gets a little bit more difficult to project him. So at least we know that Cousins has two healthy wide receivers that are going to be on the field.
So if Saquon's back, would you start Daniel Jones over him? Because I would. Heck, if I can get Saquon or Sterling Shepard or Evan Engram, I'd start Daniel Jones over him against Arizona.
Well, Arizona's not going to be the same defense, though, because Patrick Peterson is coming back from his 6-game suspension.
Yes, you're right.
So that's going to change the matchup altogether, and I think it's going to start to lead like running backs to get more fantasy points against Arizona, because like teams have basically got down to the goal line. It's like, we could throw the ball. Our tight ends are there. Our wide receivers are there. And does one person change an entire defense? No, but can it change the scope of how teams attack them? Absolutely. I mean, just look at what happened with Jalen Ramsey. So that's why I'm saying there's so many variables with Daniel Jones right now. I'd probably just play it safe with Cousins.
And a lot of people are asking about Kyle Allen. He's on a bye this week, but he's been playing really well. Is he going to keep the job when Cam Newton comes back, and is he even worth rostering? And then Sam Darnold as well. He's going up against the Patriots, so obviously you don't want to use him, but he's back. What do you think about Allen and Darnold?
Allen, no, I don't want him. I mean, not because I do think they're going to give him the starting job right now, just because they're on a winning streak. I mean, you have to kind of ride that out. But they're playing San Francisco out of the bye. They're playing Tennessee after that, Packers after that. It's not a good schedule.
There will be weeks to stream Kyle Allen, but it's not coming up anytime soon.
Exactly. And I feel the same way about Sam Darnold. Like, you're not going to stream him against New England. So it's like, why pick him up? He's not the type.
I would never stream Sam Darnold. I mean, is he ever going to be a top 15 quarterback any week? Like, you put him up against Miami in week 9. That's who they get. I'm not playing Sam Darnold.
I would.
All right. Let's have a bet, man. You play Sam Darnold, you can pick my quarterback. I don't care who it is.
Okay. Like, all right, so people remind Bobby of this come week 9, and please remind me about it too, so I don't forget, because
you give me Kyle Allen at home against Tennessee, you can have Sam Darnold. I don't care who he's playing.
That's a deal. We're making that bet right now. We have to come up with the terms of that, but that's going to happen before week 9. But
no terms. The loser's just a big, gigantic loser. Those are the terms.
No, there's other terms that are going to be involved.
Okay, let's go to the tight end position. And boy, is it ugly. If you didn't act quick on Hunter Henry when he was available in your league, it's too late. You missed your chance to get a tight end. It's not happening again. A lot of people think Chris Herndon's going to be the guy when he comes back. I don't know how long that's going to be. And it's a bummer that he's hurt. But, you know, when he does come back, I'm just not seeing it. I mean, we talked about this Jets offense. It's pretty bad. And they've got a lot of other options to throw to. Now, they're not great options, but Robbie Anderson, Jamison Crowder, they've got Le'Veon Bell as well. Demaryius Thomas is getting a lot of targets. There's a chance we've got, we're talking about the number five target in the Jets offense. Not interested, guys.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of Chris Herndon to begin with, so I'm definitely not there. But
I mean, it was easy to be a fan of him last year when he was, you know, splitting targets with I can't even remember the guys. Quincy Enunwa, I think, was their number two behind Robbie Anderson. Trenton Cannon was, I think, fourth on their team in targets. It was ugly.
Yeah, no, it definitely was ugly, but he's nothing more than a streamer. He's going to have his weeks where I'll feel good streaming him, but not it's not like a you set it and forget it type tight end. Like this week, I Dawson Knox and Darren Fells are two guys that I would consider a streamer worthy. Knox has, he's kind of like the lone wolf. That's why I'd probably go with Dawson Knox over Darren Fells, just because Knox is receiving, like he's running most of the routes for that team. And Miami is just like, basically it's like pick your poison against Miami, score fantasy points however you want. And that's what we're looking for. Hopefully that Knox finds his way into the end zone. Fells is actually sharing snaps with Jordan Akins. Like they're like legitimately.
It's like back and forth every single week too.
Dude, it's neck and neck. And like I already started research for this week and I'm looking at it and I'm trying to find the tight end that I want to play because Fells, like the matchup against Indianapolis is a good one, but they legitimately over the last 3 weeks, they have ran, it's one route. I think Fells has one more route. Fells is on the field for more snaps because he does more blocking. So I'm going to lean Fells just because he's on the field a little bit more, but.
Well, this week, I mean, you look at his game log. He had 6 targets in week 3, 1 in week 4, 2 in week 5, 7 in week 6. There's a chance that he gets 5 receptions. There's a chance he gets 0.
Yeah, I mean, that's the case with most tight ends, right?
Sure, I guess that's the case. I mean, OJ Howard is still in my top 12 rest of the season tight ends. Like, what are you going to do?
He is mine, too. I don't even want to talk about OJ Howard right now.
Yeah, I mean, everyone is still asking, should we drop him? And I feel like a bigger idiot every week, but my answer is still no.
It's still no for me, too, just because, like, I know he's on his bye week now, and it's tougher to hold on to someone through that. But seriously, sit down, and I want you to, like, this is the exercise you can do to understand why it is that we're telling you not to drop him. Sit down and write down the top 12 tight ends that you would roster over OJ Howard right now. And I bet you
I've got 8 good ones. And then the next 100 all suck.
Yeah, they do. And it's like, why not go with the guy that legitimately was like a historic tight end, like to start his career? Like it's frustrating for sure, but hopefully the bye week, they get him more involved in the offense and they get Jameis Winston to tone it down a little bit because Jameis Winston just is taking too many shots down the field.
Right. I mean, we're talking about Chris Herndon. What's the difference between Chris Herndon and OJ Howard? One of them is substantially more talented. One of them has proven he can be elite. And we're hoping both of them start to play good football. We don't know if Herndon's going to play good football. OJ Howard's in a much better offense. If OJ Howard was sitting out there, you remove his name and his production, all you knew was this is a guy who probably won't produce the rest of the season very well. But there's a chance he's a top 4 rest of the season tight end. You would pick him up in a heartbeat. You'd spend a ton of fab to get him. That's who OJ Howard is.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much.
I guess people are probably going to wonder about Mike Gesicki. He goes up against Buffalo, though, and you're not.
No, dude, no.
And you don't want Mike Gesicki anyway. He's playing 50% of the snaps for the Dolphins. And then Ricky Seals-Jones, same thing. He's playing, a fair amount for Cleveland. He's had 2 nice games. He's not getting many targets. He's a very good athlete, but I can't see this happening. He's got the bye week, then to the New England Patriots. I don't know. I'm not interested.
No. There's guys that have had bigger games than Mike Gesicki has had his entire career, like in terms of like production.
Right. Yep. And I want everyone to know these are not players I'm bringing up because I'm interested. I don't care what Tags has to say about them. I'm not picking them up no matter what. I'm bringing them up because we're getting questions about it. And I figure 20% of you guys are wondering the same thing. The other 80% are rolling their eyes like, let's move on to DST already. I'm with you. Let's move on to DST. And Tags, who is your favorite streamer this week? It is so bad. Like, I would almost just rather play nobody.
Play nobody at defense.
This is if you need a streamer at defense.
I mean, it's really difficult just because you don't know who's owned, but I do know that the Packers, they were a team that when I did the waiver wire column on Saturday,
52% owned. I don't know if you can do it.
Maybe people are reading the article. I don't know, but they were under 40% owned when I did that article, and they're playing against Oakland next week. I know Oakland's coming out of their bye. But still, Derek Carr has been sacked at least 3 times in 2 games. They've turned the ball over at least once in each of their last 4 games. So the Packers, they're at home. They're a favorite. I mean, if you're looking for someone like further down, it really stinks because you're just relying on something that hasn't happened the last couple of weeks. But the Colts defense, I mean, they're going to be at home. They're coming off their bye week. They're getting their starting inside linebacker back.
They're going to give up 30 points to Houston, though.
Yeah, they might. But that's the thing is what you're chasing here is the sack totals. And I know that Deshaun Watson hasn't been sacked in each of the last 2 weeks, but that's like, I don't think that's going to continue.
That is so sketchy. That's not going to last. I agree. I was going to say Indianapolis. I mean, I just want to read you some of the other options here. Denver gets Kansas City. You're not playing them. Houston goes into Indianapolis. I'd rather play Indianapolis at home against Houston. Kansas City takes on the Broncos, and it's like, well, this is a good matchup, but it's Kansas City.
They're also injured on defense. That's if Kansas City was like healthy on defense, they had like all their starters, I'd feel better about that. I don't think the Chiefs are a bad streamer though.
Yeah, I don't think so as well. I think I'd put them number two or number three behind Houston and Indianapolis. We have a streamer who goes up against Buffalo and Josh Allen, but it's the Miami Dolphins. Oh, wait, we've got one that goes up against the New York Giants. But it's the Arizona Cardinals. There's nothing this week.
Yeah, it's a pretty rough week to stream defenses, and that's going to happen from time to time. And that's why it's like, I don't mind in leagues where you have like, you know, 6 to 8 bench spots. If you want to stick aside one defense to kind of like platoon those guys and look at the ahead schedule, I'm not opposed to doing that, provided that you have, you know, solid starters and that you're not relying on your bench to produce. It seems like a rough week, but you know, fortunately later in the week, we're going to have like a better idea. Like, as I'm going through all these games, researching them, I'll find some defenses that are going to be like kind of under the radar plays, but, make sure to check our rankings, obviously, when our articles come out.
Tags, let's play drop or keep. So for those of you guys who are new to the show, maybe, and you haven't heard this segment, what we're going to do, it's a lightning round. We're not going to give a bunch of analysis. It's just straightforward advice. Do you drop this guy or do you keep him? Now, obviously, this is dependent on your league, your needs, the roster size, the settings, everything like that. So take that into consideration, and that we are saying everything for a 12-team, half PPR league. And, you know, based on ownership projection, should these guys be owned? Would you rather have them than the 4 or 5 top waiver wire pickups that we talked about on today's show? Now, Tags, let's start. Sammy Watkins. I'm just kidding, man. I've got so many questions about Sammy Watkins already this week. I had to bring him up at the start of the show. Guys, keep him, man. He's a top 30 wide receiver rest this season.
Yeah, my advice on that is it could be a situation where we're mad about Sammy Watkins not producing, you know, with Tyreek Hill out of the lineup, and it's like, oh, he didn't even perform then. Maybe he's better with with Tyreek Hill in the lineup because he's like literally seeing one-on-one coverage. Like, I actually do a buy-sell hold thing. I put hold on Sammy Watkins. I don't even want to trade him for bottom dollar right now.
I would agree with that. Okay, DK Metcalf hasn't really been doing anything lately.
Bye. With Will Disley being out for what looks like to be the season, Russell Wilson's going to find a new red zone target, and DK Metcalf is just a massive, massive man.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. I like that call. I am keeping DK Metcalf. Wouldn't mind trading for him, but I think you can pretty much get him for free. So I'd try to get him as a throw-in in a trade. Corey Davis. Drop. I'm the Corey Davis guy, and I'm saying drop, so you better drop him. DeMarcus Robinson with Tyreek Hill coming back.
He's droppable if you need someone for now. I mean, like I said, if you're looking for bye week replacements, I would rather have Cole Beasley or Jameson Crowder.
Yeah, like even if Sammy Watkins goes down, he's down right now. If Tyreek Hill goes down again, we've seen DeMarcus Robinson. He's a 1 in 4 week shot, right? Hardman's the same way. I think you can drop both these guys. Antonio Brown.
He was a drop like as soon as he was a drop a long time ago.
I'm picking him up, man. I don't care.
Oh, stop. Don't.
I'm picking him up. Okay, you're telling me you would rather have Cole Beasley 100%. Than the 1 in 20 chance that Antonio Brown comes back.
It's a 1 in like a million chance after the crap he said about the NFL and like going out and calling out players and owners and stuff. Like, he's done, dude. He's not playing in the NFL ever again.
This is what you said about Josh Gordon too. You remember that? But then again, I was so excited about having Josh Gordon and he hasn't done anything. So I probably shouldn't say anything.
At least with Antonio Brown, you don't have to worry about it, like if he's in the lineup or not.
All right, let's go Philip Dorsett.
Keep,
okay. Yeah, I mean, I guess if he was available on waiver wires, I'd rather have him than Jameson Crowder, but not by much. I'd rather have him than Auden Tate.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Okay, last one for wide receivers, Geronimo Allison.
Keep, especially with this stuff going on with Davante Adams.
Yeah, yep, I would agree with that. I'm keeping him for now. I would expect to cut him fairly soon. Let's go to the running back position. Damian Williams isn't playing at all.
I mean, you're keeping him. You're not.
Right. Okay, just making sure.
Yeah, no, I mean, I have actually, like, so I've gotten down to, like, where he's my number 28 running back the rest of the season, and that might seem too high, but I don't want to take away too much from one game of LeSean McCoy, because McCoy...
Right, he had two touches. Damian Williams had two touches, but, like, This was an ugly game. You know, Patrick Mahomes is banged up. This offense is going to get going again. I don't care if McCoy's the starter. It's like a 60-40 starter split. And you want to start the 40 guy in the Kansas City Chiefs offense.
Yeah, it's frustrating to know what's going on. Like, there's no predictability. Like, I've looked through this. I've looked through the touches. I've looked through the snaps. And it could be that LeSean McCoy is the starter moving forward, and they were just trying to ease him back 2 weeks ago. And that's why he had two touches or two targets or whatever it was. So it's possible that LeSean McCoy has more value than Damian Williams. I'm not willing to say that just yet, but it's getting close.
Devin Singletary.
He's a hold for sure.
He's a buy from me. I think that he's going to be the definite starter when he comes back.
Yeah, he's my number 34 running back rest of the season, so I obviously like him.
I've got him top 30, and this week they get Miami. If Devin Singletary comes back, he might be a top 20 running back for me this week.
Oh, he's back for sure. Like, he's playing. He was close to playing before, and I think they just gave him the bye week just to rest him up, but he'll play. And yeah, he's going to be ranked as a top 30 running back play for sure.
I'm excited about this one. I would buy Devin Singletary everywhere if I could, and we're going to get to the buy sell in just a moment. Let's continue with the drop or keep. Tags, let's go Duke Johnson.
Keep.
I'm dropping him. I mean, what's the point? When is he ever going to be startable?
I mean, it's like you could say the same thing about Chase Edmonds, but we're picking him up.
Well, the Chase Edmonds is startable if David Johnson gets hurt.
Well, Duke Johnson would be absolutely startable if Carlos Hyde got hurt.
Yeah, but we're talking about the difference between a potential RB1 and like a low-end RB2, high-end RB3, right?
I think Duke Johnson would be a top 15 player if Carlos Hyde got hurt. Man.
You really think that they're going to give this guy 15 touches if Carlos Hyde gets hurt?
They have to. They don't have a choice. Their running back depth chart is so bad.
You know what they're going to do? They're going to pull some bum off the street, and he's going to get 10 touches, and Duke Johnson's going to be Duke Johnson. I don't want Duke Johnson on my roster.
Yeah, now that Duke Johnson's been through like multiple regimes, and like maybe there's something to this that he's not the reason that he doesn't see a whole lot of touches. It's just crazy to me.
Maybe. I don't know. If I'm an NFL GM, I want Duke Johnson bad, and he's my starting running back. But fantasy football, I don't want him.
Yeah, it's just crazy to think that the Texans gave up what it seems like it's going to be a third round pick for him. It's just nuts. That blows my mind. But yeah, I'd still keep him. I think he's basically, you have to look at him as a handcuff that has some viability.
Would you rather have him than Peyton Barber?
Yes.
I don't know if I would.
I would, yeah.
I don't want either of them, but I think I might rather have Peyton Barber.
Yeah, I have Barber down at 47 running backs. I have Duke at 43, so I'd take Johnson.
It's ugly. Tariq Cohen.
Hold.
Hold. Keeping him, for sure. Adrian Peterson, you already said cut him. I would agree with that. After this week, you're not going to play him. Frank Gore, now that Singletary's back, I'm cutting him.
You can keep him to play him against Miami, but then cut him after that.
Kareem Hunt.
I'm slowly moving him up my board because, like, he's available. People think it's like week 9, but it's actually week 10 with the bye week, the way that things work out. So week 10 is the first week he has a chance to be available.
Well, he gets Buffalo too. You're not going to play him then. They're going to ease him back in anyway. But
well, no, I mean, Nick Chubb's the starting running back. But he becomes like one of the most highly coveted handcuffs in football. Like he's worth more than someone like, you know, we've been talking about Alexander Mattison or Tony Pollard.
Tony Pollard, Alexander Mattison. I'd rather have Hunt.
Yes, yes. Hunt basically becomes a top 40 running back as like one of the high-end handcuffs.
All right, Tags, let's close out the show by giving one guy we're buying low, one guy we'd like to sell high. Why don't you start us off? Who are you buying low right now?
I am going to go with James White to buy low.
I'm going with the James also. Interesting.
We keep talking about the Patriots and, like, you know, how, like, trying to figure out they're scoring a lot of points. They're blowing out their opponents, but they're still averaging like 39 pass attempts per game, which is just crazy. So it's because their running game has not been moving. And James White's been seeing plenty of volume here. Like, over the last 5 years of James White's career, that's a big big sample size. He has scored a touchdown every 16.9 touches over those 5 years. This year, it's every 49 touches. Regression is going to kick into the mean with him, and he's going to start scoring more. And all of a sudden, when he scores two touchdowns, people are going to be like, oh, wow, is he an RB2 the rest of the season? He kind of already is. It's just a matter of scoring those touchdowns, and it's going to come sooner rather than later.
I would agree with that. I think James White's a great call. I think my call is a lot better, though, Tags, so take that. It's James Conner. We already talked about Benny Snell, and I know James Conner right now is banged up with a quad injury. That's going to make you be able to get him for cheaper, but this quad injury, it's very likely to be good by week 9. They play Miami in week 8, so like I said, I don't think they need to rush James Conner back. They probably won't. But, I mean, we're talking about a team who went up against the Patriots. They got crushed, of course. The Seahawks, really good run defense. San Francisco, one of the best defenses in the league. Baltimore has a very good defense as well. What did we expect out of James Conner? He was great in week six. And the reason he was great was because of the offensive line, not because of who James Conner is. It's the same reason James Conner was really good last season before he got banged up a little bit. James Conner is a decent running back. He's a great fantasy running back because of this offense. Mason Rudolph's coming back, and you can say, Mason Rudolph, we should make fun of him because he's been crummy. Are you sure about that? Mason Rudolph has more adjusted yards per passing attempt than Carson Wentz. He's right behind Aaron Rodgers. He's been fine. 7 touchdowns to 2 interceptions. He's been fine. He's going to continue to get better as well. I think that James Conner is a great buy low right now.
I'm not buying James Conner. I don't.
Good. You can sell him to me and I'll get him for cheap.
I don't want to attach myself to, like, I hate attaching myself to running backs to play for bad teams. And like, he doesn't even see elite volume. Again, he had 16 carries this week, which...
He had 16 carries before he got hurt. He was going to get 25, man.
He might have, but that was, like, by necessity because they had injuries. Like, Jalen Samuels getting hurt, but the 10 prior games...
Well, the reason he didn't get carries in the first 4 weeks is because they got crushed. They're not going to get crushed when they play decent teams.
The 10 prior games, though, he hadn't topped 15 carries in a game. So that's my concern.
I understand it, man. So where do you have him rest of the season for running backs? I've got him 15.
I have him at 18. So, I mean... He's a middling RB2 as far as I'm concerned.
So would you trade James Conner to me for Josh Jacobs?
They're right next to each other in my rankings, so it's like basically pick your poison. They're both part of like relatively bad teams. The reason that there's a little hope for Josh Jacobs is because he was involved in the pass game a little bit more as they entered their bye. I'd probably take Conner, I guess, but it's close.
What about Todd Gurley?
I'll take the chances with Gurley.
Will you? Okay. I'm a little bit worried about the quad right above his knee, but
I'm lowering him down, but I'd still take my chances with him.
Yeah, I think Conner has just as much upside as well. Let's move on to somebody that we're selling high. Who would you sell?
Stephon Diggs.
That's a little too obvious, don't you think?
No, it does seem like that, right? But so our buddy Heath Cummings.
Some sucker in your league is going to buy him.
It's not even some sucker, dude. Heath Cummings, our buddy from over at CBS, right? He, on our show not long ago, he did a poll on Twitter today. It has 2,000 votes already. And it's Stephon Diggs, Brandon Cooks, Robert Woods, or Robbie Anderson. Stephon Diggs has the most votes as to who people want for the rest of the season. It's like, I kid you not, man. I'm telling you, people after, it's like Will Fuller after that performance. But the thing is, Will Fuller, at least his team throws the ball a lot. You know, when Mike Zimmer comes to the podium and says, are you happy we threw the ball a lot? Like 29 times? That's not a lot, Mike.
I bet you could get Juju Smith-Schuster or AJ Green for him, and I would do that in a heartbeat.
I love Stephon Diggs, the player. I really do. I actually think he's a top 15 wide receiver in the game, maybe even top 10. But unfortunately, this offense is like, it's just too low volume for me to like trust him like week in, week out. I don't want to trust Juju either. So that's a bad one too, I think, too. But I'd probably take DJ Chark over him, honestly.
Yeah, I would as well. That is so funny. Imagine saying that 7 weeks ago. I would have come through the computer and slapped you in the face and said, you are a loser.
What about Terry McLaurin? Would you take him over Stephon Diggs?
No, I want it, but it's really close. I've got them neck and neck. I like McLaurin, but you have to also consider he's by far the number one, and so he's also going to get the hardest matchup.
I'm sorry. I'm still laughing. You said you slapped me in the neck. Oh, that's funny. By the way, Bobby, can I just reiterate? I talked about it so much in the show last night, but if you buy any elite tight end, if you can get Kelsey at a discount, do it. If you can get Kittle at market price, do it. If you can get Ertz below market value, do it. If you can get Darren Waller, Austin Hooper, Mark Andrews, any of those guys, if you can get them on your team.
Hunter Henry, you have to say Hunter Henry.
I guess Hunter Henry's now in that conversation, but I'm telling you, like, overpay for a tight end. Like, it's ridiculous.
Okay, so this is going to sound counterintuitive because you're like, hold on. How can you sell this guy high when his stock is not as high as it once was? What I'm saying is his stock is higher than it should be. Guys, I'm worried about DeAndre Hopkins. I understand he's not getting it done from a touchdown perspective, but you watch him play, he's not the same player as he was last year. He's just not. He was the best wide receiver in football last year, maybe Michael Thomas, but it was Hopkins or Thomas. This year when you watch Hopkins play, it's like, well, I mean, he's good, but he's not an elite wide receiver. He just doesn't look like it. If I can sell DeAndre Hopkins right now and get myself Keenan Allen, I'm doing it.
Oh, no. No, don't do it. Don't.
You would rather have Hopkins than Keenan Allen, Chris Godwin, Cooper Kupp?
The only wide receiver I would take over DeAndre Hopkins is Julio Jones.
I'm taking Michael Thomas is my wide receiver number one. He's the best wide receiver in football.
I disagree, but I mean, if he had Drew Brees, I could see the argument being made, but Julio is just dead.
Since he lost Drew Brees, 9 for 9, 95 yards, 11 for 13, 182 and 2 scores, 8 for 12 against the Jags, 89 yards. Hopkins would love to do that just once in his life.
His floor is there. I mean, Hopkins, like, he didn't have a terrible game. I mean, he did by his standards. But the thing with Hopkins is more about the usage. I have no idea what the hell they were doing last week. Like,
well, they're putting two tight ends on the field. Like, half of the time, they've got Will Fuller, Kiki QT. They're passing to Duke Johnson now. He's just not this guy who gets a 26% target share. Mind you, in an offense that only throws the ball 505 times in a season.
Well, they used him, and I said on the show last night, and it was an insult to Adam Humphries, because I said they used DeAndre Hopkins this past week like Adam Humphries, and again, that was an insult to Adam Humphries, because Hopkins' average depth of target was actually lower. It was like the third or fourth lowest in football last week, and that's not who DeAndre Hopkins is. He's never been a guy that creates yards after the catch. He's a guy that creates separation, is magical with his hands. His feet are good. He did drop a touchdown in this game, so it could have been better, but I'm following the targets here. He's seen at least eight targets in all but one game. In the one game he didn't, he saw seven targets. Eventually, this is going to be like, oh, that's DeAndre Hopkins. Okay, yeah, that's the guy. Definitely see why he was drafted as the number one wide receiver.
You know who has more targets per game than DeAndre Hopkins?
Is it Will Fuller because of his one game?
No, it's not even close. I was going to say Keenan Allen, Cooper Kupp, Michael Thomas, all those guys who I would rather have than DeAndre Hopkins. All of those guys have double-digit targets per game. DeAndre Hopkins is down at 9.3.
Yeah, I get it. That's fine. I'm still taking Hopkins. Again,
Christian Kirk has 9.3 per game.
I am not selling low on DeAndre Hopkins. Not doing
okay.
it.
Okay. Fight. Actually, you know what? That's a good way to end the show.
I guess it is.
All right, and I want to say thanks to the sponsor of today's show, Roman. Guys, if you're dealing with ED, just go check out GetRoman.com/FantasyPros. It's discreet. It's really simple. You get free two-day shipping. GetRoman.com/FantasyPros. And don't forget to check out our waiver wire assistant, FantasyPros.com/MyPlaybook. And remember, this is a premium tool. So if you want to get our premium offering, our Hall of Fame package, that's our top premium offering for 6 months, a $65 value, go to FantasyPros.com/offers. We can get it to you for 10 bucks. Check out the details at FantasyPros.com/offers. For Jamie Eisenberg and Mike Tagliere, I'm Bobby Sylvester. Thanks for listening and enjoy your football. I just wanted you to watch me dissolve slowly in a proof of your love. I don't even know how the chemistry works when your rules are kicking in the dirt, kicking in the sand and stirring up trouble. If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah, and some waves so we could go surfing.
Oh, ah, yeah. Love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Tanner girl go shopping.
Yeah, baby.
Wait, did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.